I am Rhonda Chervin, the author of the book Taming the Lion Within, 5 Steps from Anger to Peace. I am a professor of philosophy, but also a provider of workshops and retreats, and a presenter on Catholic radio and TV. The author of some 60 books, Taming the Lion Within, 5 Steps from Anger to Peace, is on one of my top 10 favorites. Why? Well, this is why, because until I was 57 years old, I used to have 5 fits of anger every day. Now, then I found tools to deal with anger and ways to pray that changed that to 1 fit a month. Now, there are plenty of anger management groups since then, but there are those who need help but who are dubious about groups. You know, I'm kind of a groupie type person. There are people who hate groups, and they still need insights in their personal lives, also insights for group work. For instance, one use of this would be even seminarians who don't think they have cold or hot anger, they have to work with parishioners who have plenty of anger. And they would do very well to have more insight into the nature of anger and Christian solutions to anger. So now this same book, Taming the Lion Within, 5 Steps from Anger to Peace, has been made into a course with a facilitator's guide by my own daughters, who are very techie people, and my own daughters were the beneficiaries of my having found these solutions, because they were often the victims of this out-of-control anger. So they're delighted to have worked up this terrific facilitator's guide, including audios of roaring lions, so to spice it up a little bit. In any case, here are the 5 steps. We have step 1, admitting I am an angry person. Step 2, identifying my type of anger. Step 3, understanding my anger. Step 4, taming the lion day by day. Step 5, the lion lies down with the lamb. So that is your introduction to the book. And let me just say a prayer for those of you who are listening to this. Here is my prayer. God, help us so that we may tame the lion within and have more space for love and peace in our hearts. Now, this is an introduction to step 1, admitting I am an angry person. Now, in 25 years of doing this way of Christian anger management, I found that one of the most difficult things is what is called denial. Here is the problem of denial. People can't deny that they're angry, especially if it's hot anger. But what they deny is this way. They say, I'm only angry because everyone else is so obnoxious. I can't help being angry. So, for instance, if you're an angry driver, you see this guy weaving in and out of traffic on the freeway 20 miles an hour faster than the other cars, and you say, this guy is obnoxious. He's going to kill people. I hate him. And you start cursing him through the closed window, all right? So the idea, it's his fault. So the fact that I'm angry all the time is just because I'm surrounded by obnoxious people. And I felt this way without realizing it, even though I go to confession, you know, once a month and confess anger. I kind of had that underlying attitude until I got involved in a group that I describe in the book called Recovery International, which is a whole system for dealing with anger, fear, and depression. And so You'll read about the tools from this system that I learned later in the book in step four. But now in step one, I have some typical angry scenes so that people can easily relate to the angry scenes in one way or another. So let me just describe some of these scenes. You have a father and a son. And the teenager has just gotten his driver's license. The father gives him the keys for the first time to the pickup truck out alone. And he says over and over again, "I want you back in half an hour max. Any problems, you have the cell phone." And Jim, the son, is very happy. Okay, 2 hours later, he pulls into the garage. And his dad is waiting for him in the hall, and he grabs his son by the shoulder, shakes him, smacks him across the face, yelling, "Forget driving my truck ever again." Okay. Obvious case of, you know, strong, hot anger. But you have another kind where people get revenge instead of getting angry. So I have an employer and a manager where the employee doesn't like the job very much, the pay is low, she just hates this job, and it's a fast food place, and so one day she says, "I'm not going to get mad, I'm going to get even," and she just, on her way off the job forever, she heads out the door and sets the defrost on the industrial fridge so that it goes to zero, and then all the food will, so she gets revenge, see. Then I have one with sisters, where the two sisters, one is always jealous of the other one, and so they have, the one who's jealous just doesn't invite her sister to family occasions at her house. And so she has this cold, unjust anger over a long period of time. Then my favorite one for married couples involves this husband and wife who just exchange sarcastic comments all day long with each other. So those are different types of anger that people might adjust to. I mean, might identify with. Okay. So here's the prayer. Jesus, Prince of Peace, you want your children to be peaceful, not raging or withdrawing by rejecting others in anger. Help us to be open to the truth about our anger. Now here's a little introduction to step two, identifying types of anger. I have two types of anger that I deal with in this chapter. And of course, when you do the course or read the book, you'll get all the details of this. But just to set you up, we have hot and cold anger. And most people think hot anger is the worst because, you know, you see someone raging, screaming, throwing things, hitting people. But cold anger can be just as bad, like rejecting some family member for 40 years because they did something that upset you and never talking to them for 40 years. That's pretty cold and awful, right? So most students in my workshops or in classes, participants, have no trouble identifying their type of anger. An amusing thing that happens is sometimes a married person brings their spouse to the workshop, and then it turns out that the spouse who is just visiting is just as angry, except in a way they've never identified. Okay, so here is the prayer for step two, my prayer. Dear Jesus, even when we admit to hot anger, we don't always know how much we victimize others. I'm just a little pause in the prayer. I always feel very bad. My kids told me years afterwards, we happened to live right across from the school they were attending, and that they were so embarrassed because the kids, their friends could hear me yelling in the house. So, Lord have mercy. So, Jesus, help us always to pray before frustrating encounters, not to be hotly angry. And with cold anger, please help us to remember you and not to be mad, but to forgive. Give us the spirit of forgiveness instead of the spirit of withdrawal. Okay, step three is understanding anger. And in that chapter, I start with what many psychologists, who I researched psychologists on anger. And I was surprised to find that a lot of anger comes out of wounds of childhood. And here's a story which I have there which will blow your mind, because I don't think anyone had any, most people didn't have anything that bad happen to them. Okay, I knew this man who, as a little boy, he's in the crib, and his parents are band leaders who go off on weekend trips, and they leave the baby with this maid, and the maid takes the opportunity one day to steal all the silverware, expensive silverware, and run away thinking the parents are going to return any minute, but they're delayed. And so he's screaming in his crib until he's found. And ever after, when I met this man at age 60, any time he had to wait in any circumstance, he would get furious and scream at people. You see how strong that is. Okay. Another thing psychologists talk about, a type of cold anger that's extremely deceptive. There are people who always smile. They never seem to get angry. And sometimes these are kids whose parents made them so, said anger is a sin, we'll hit you if you ever get angry. And so they develop this fake smile for the rest of their lives. Well, that's pretty, you know, so that would be a cold anger concealed behind this smiling face. Okay. Now, then, on the Christian side of understanding anger, one of the things that's very important is there is a right kind of anger. So we ought to be angry at huge injustices such as abortion or exploitation of the poor. And Jesus was angry in this way at the Pharisees and so forth. So that kind of anger is good anger. But what makes that, even that kind of anger, even when there's a good cause, what can make it bad is if it's extreme, vengeful, disproportionate. Like killing someone in a duel because they insulted you. Okay, then with the scriptures, I found wonderful scriptures about anger. And you can think you know all these scriptures, but you'll see when you read them that some of them might be new to you. I especially like this one from Ephesians. If you're angry, let it be without sin. The idea is you can have an impulse of anger, but then you don't need to, you know, grab that anger and rage with it. The sun must not go down on your wrath. Don't give the devil a chance to work on you. And, you know, Jesus often spoke about anger, and he wants us to be meek and humble of heart, which is the opposite of anger, cold or hot. So you'll read very interesting things about that and study them in your group if you do this as a group or a class. My prayer is, Jesus, how can we pray the Our Father that says over and over again, forgive us our trespasses, the trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? How can we say that and justify rage and non-forgiveness? So help us never to be angry in that bad way and heal any wounds we have that lead to anger. Now, step four is called Taming the Lion Day by Day. And it's about different tools that I learned in this system. The system is called Recovery International, not 12 Steps. And it's a system for dealing with any kind of bad emotions such as anger, anxiety, and depression. And not clinical depression, but just sadness, perpetual sadness. And in this system, we have these different tools for dealing with anger. And I just want to mention a few of them. One of them is it's not a 911. And what that means is we shouldn't take simple daily frustrations and act as if it's like a 911, it's an emergency. So the fact that I'm 5 minutes late for a meeting because there was a traffic jam is not a reason to get hysterically angry as if someone was going to die from this, see? And then there are ones, humor is your best friend. And anytime we can laugh at ourselves at a time when we might be angry is a great help. So there are about 10 of these tools that I teach in that chapter. And so my prayer is, Jesus, help me. Help me accept what you allow in life that is frustrating or unjust without the need to rage against it. Step five is the lion lies down with the lamb. And it's about the Christian ideas about anger. And one of them that surprised me when I was doing research, but which seems to be really very important for many people, is when in cases of big, big reasons for anger, like things involving divorce or the death of a loved one through a traffic drunk driver or all sorts of stuff like that. To bring the anger to God and to talk it out with God, even scream it out with God until God gives you some answer that you can accept. And another thing is healing of memories, which is going through the bad things in your life as a child with forgiveness as part of that healing of memories. And deep prayer, now why deep prayer helps so much is that when we feel we have to be happy on this earth, and we feel we have a right to hate anyone who we think of as you ruined my life, like this drunk driver ruined my family. But if you really believe in the promises of heaven given by Jesus for those of us who repent and who love him and follow him, then no one can ruin our lives. So there are many, many good thoughts in this book, and I welcome you to the course or to the reading of the book, and God bless you all. And so my closing prayer is, Jesus, please tame the lion within and bring us from anger to peace, to your peace. Amen.